But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Well, on my drive to work today, there was a bit of breaking news, and I'm still reading as much as I can, as quickly as I can before we got on air, but this morning, in the last hour, the Supreme Court struck down admissions programs at Harvard and the University of North Carolina that relied in part on racial considerations, saying they violate the Constitution. Not surprisingly, the vote split along ideological grounds, with Chief Justice John G. Roberts Jr. writing for the conservative members in the majority and the liberals dissenting. And I guess I would love just your reactions, if you have them, 844-967-2789. But I guess the overriding question I have, is this fair? And obviously that is a word that is up to you to define. But whenever we talk about, I guess it's DEI. Now they've ruined that term now. But
by design.
Yes, I know. But it's in... I think of the monopoly analogy that gets thrown out as far as how race has worked in this country and the absurdity to me of flipping in the attempt to give a hand up, like have a, instead of a handout, hand up to people. It's now seen as like reverse racism or whatever, when in reality, white people and white men in this country have been playing Monopoly for centuries. And in those centuries, they've been able to accrue a lot of wealth and a lot of status and run the show. And basically, it's only been a couple decades since, more specifically, I would say, black people have been able to even enter the game. And the expectation that, well, it's your fault. It's your fault that you don't have as much on Park Ave.
Didn't work hard enough.
You didn't work hard enough. Doesn't matter that you came to the game late. Doesn't matter that the couple times you tried to come to the game ahead of time, we destroyed the wealth that you had made in Oklahoma or the communities you had built and the businesses you had built by driving and building highways through them. That doesn't matter, you know, the fact that we've actually legally kept you from building wealth through property ownership, through redlining, you know, you're in the game now. So now everyone has to be treated fairly. And so the thing is, it's not like every person of color who applied to any of these universities is like, well, you're black, so you're getting into school. Like, the audacity that you think that's how these admissions worked is misguided is an understatement. But we're here. And I think the thing that's most laughable to me is the fact that we're not ending affirmative action in total. We're 'cause I'm pretty sure they've said nothing about legacy students.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this doesn't say anything about, well, if your dad went to this school.
Your grandpa went to this school.
Or your grandpa or your parents donated or your there's special, you know, recommendations and all of, you know, a lot of other, you know, preferences for legacies and donors and employee families and mm-hmm. all of that are still allowed. And so it's not that there's not preferential. This is knocking down all preferential treatment. And schools have to, like, stick to objective, numbered meritocracy criteria. It's just limiting their ability to consider race, despite the fact that race has been a major consideration for the livelihoods of people in this country since its inception. 844-967-2789. The Supreme Court ruling. I guess any reactions you have or bigger questions, just is it fair? 844-96-PARTY. Jane Van Der, how are you feeling?
It's so disappointing. But again, look at the Supreme Court that we have. This is why they're there. This is why they were, and certainly the last three, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, this is why they're there and were put there, to reverse things. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised.
And that's the thing. I'm not sure people were bracing as we were just saying, I think, earlier this week, how the rulings that have come out so far for this session from the Supreme Court don't feel as devastating as it did last year, of just like thing after thing after thing across the board. Maybe it's similar to last year, where they're just, they save kind of the big ones for last. But it's wildly disappointing. And I would imagine that there's other things that schools can, when you think about an essay, and a lot of schools are already moving away from ACT and SAT scores, and the schools that are actually committed to diversity, you know, you can look at income levels. There are other things as far as trying to recruit and incorporate people from different backgrounds, and so it's not so homogenous at campus. But it's just, I think symbolically, just what this also means just feels crappy.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Tom from L.A. joining us. Hey, Tom, what do you think?
Well, first off, we the people, all of us, ultimately are the government, and we must remember that the power lies within our hands one way or another. Second, this does show the consequences of getting a Democratic president in place to actually be able to get some justices on the Supreme Court that are not just from the Heritage Foundation or from the Federalist Society. Also, I would really recommend anyone that's out there, and I honestly, sincerely want to reach out to my white brothers and sisters. Please look up Jane Elliott.
She's great.
Jane Elliott, because you know what? She puts as clearly as anybody in terms of race and what it really means, you know, about, basically starting 10 steps back before the other person. And I would like to say also for every white person out there, just for once, would you like to change places in your life with a black person? And I think there you'll have your answer in terms of what it is that you feel. This is such a stain on our society today. And this basically just, again, empowers white privilege and empowers, people that are white that we are, I would say, the superior ones, or whatever it might be. I think this is absolutely crazy. I'm sure George War Criminal Bush, when he got into Yale, didn't get in there completely on his grades, like Jane and Chris were saying. This is crazy. This is all crazy, and we knew that it was going to kind of happen because of the makeup of the Supreme Court. So everybody, please get out and vote. And you're in that next elections and vote Democratic, because you can look at the history of the different types of people that are actually appointed to the Supreme Court and what it is that they actually have done, with the exception maybe of Sandra Day O'Connor. Please, just everyone, and check your white privilege at the door. I know we don't see it, but watch Jane Elliott. That's all I got to say. Go to YouTube, watch Jane Elliott, and you'll get a little bit better understanding of what white privilege really is.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Tom.
Appreciate it, Tom.
Are you familiar with Jane Elliott?
The name sounds familiar.
She is, visually, you probably have seen videos, because she used to be on Oprah. Like, she had a whole pretty viral, I think, at the time, where segment on Oprah where she split everybody up in the crowd. It was mostly white women, between the blue-eyed people and the brown-eyed people.
Oh, interesting.
And she did a whole race exercise, but instead of race, it was your eye color. And who... And just how quickly people fell into, and like, she basically treated people differently. And the blue-eyed people were more special. And
sure.
Then, and like how the brown people started to resent that. The brown-eyed people started to resent that. But she has, she's been an anti-racism educator for a very long time. She's a white woman. White, and now she's like 90. Still
wow.
alive.
Wow.
And pulls no punches. She has no patience.
I love her already.
Yeah. And so she's really great. And I'll end on this as far as the 10 steps back exercise. And I remember the first time I ever did, and there's a lot of variations of this exercise, and it's kind of similar to the Monopoly analogy. But the first time I ever had to do this, you basically, everyone stands in a line, and there's a bunch of prompts. You start in, when you, before the prompts are read, you're all in the same spot. And then depending on what the prompts are, you take a step forward, take a step back, take two steps forward, take two steps back. And all the forward steps are, your parents are still together. You had books in the house. Your parents went to college. Your parents have master's degrees. And a bunch of different kind of things you don't necessarily think about.
Consider, sure.
And consider as sure. far as helping you do better in life. Your parents taught you about budgeting.
taught you how to use a checkbook.
You know, you've never been on food stamps. And then for obviously the opposite type things, your parents don't speak English. Your parents are immigrants. Your parents didn't go to college. Your parents didn't graduate high school. You take steps back and you just see how far apart in any given group you end up starting from, right? And in that version, all you can see is the person ahead of you.
Oh, wow.
And so you're comparing yourself to the person ahead of you.
Constantly.
Not even thinking about the person behind you. So we got to take a break, but taking your reactions to this morning's Supreme Court ruling, 844-967-2789. Is it fair? This is As Goes Wisconsin. Big shot. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And in the next segment, I'm very excited because Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley is going to be joining us to talk about where we're at with the vote on the increase in the sales tax. He is selling it. He is putting on his sales hat because, you know, as there is plenty of reasons not to like the deal that got signed, as far as its arguable overreach into local control. And both on the Milwaukee Common Council and on the county board, I think there are still objections and frustrations with it. But as Dan Schaefer has put it, we basically need this to live to fight another day.
Exactly.
And so he's going to join us. And I think instead of all doom and gloom, we're also going to touch on, you know, if Milwaukee County gets its financial, it becomes more financially stable, what's possible? You know, I think because of this looming fiscal cliff, both at the county level and at the city level, there is so much scarcity of thinking about investments and how to make the city better. But if, you know, there was control and there is like financial stability, what is actually possible, which I think is, you know, a little bit more on the optimism side, which is something we try to infuse in every show on As Goes Wisconsin.
When possible.
But certainly today, at least from my point of view, this Supreme Court ruling is wildly disappointing. And at the break, our friend Greg Brock forwarded me a snippet of Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's dissent. And I'm reading this live, so excuse me if I trip over my words, but let's see what she had to say. With "let them eat cake" obliviousness, today the majority pulls the ripcord and announces, quote, "color blindness for all," end quote, by legal fiat. By deeming race irrelevant in law does not make it so in life. And having so detached itself from this country's actual past and present experiences, the court has now been lured into interfering with the crucial work that UNC and other institutions of higher learning are doing to solve America's real-world problems. No one benefits from ignorance. Although formal race-linked legal barriers are gone, race still matters to the lived experiences of all Americans in innumerable ways, and today's ruling makes things worse, not better. The best that can be said of the majority's perspective is that it proceeds ostrich-like from the hope that preventing consideration of race will end racism. But if that is, then the rest of it got cut off. But
I know, right?
And she had recused herself from the Harvard case.
Oh, wow.
I'm assuming it's because she went to Harvard. But it's a setback. It's a major setback. And I don't know what this will look like for, you know, a place like UW-Madison, which we were just talking about yesterday, as far as, you know, what should be the considerations. Should the top 5% of every high school senior be promised a spot at right. UW-Madison? But, you know, Madison is a place that strives to... strives and fails to have more diversity. Like, I don't think that they, despite the fact that I think Wisconsin's racial breakdown is like 6% is black statewide, and I think only three, like the highest it's ever, the UW campus, UW-Madison campus has ever been is 3% black.
Wow.
And you got to think about how many of those are athletes.
Yeah.
So, but we got a call on the phone.
Beverly from Richland Center joining us. Good morning, Beverly. What do you think?
I agree with you that there is nothing about this decision that's fair or right. But what I'm thinking is, maybe just as importantly, it's not smart.
Mm-hmm.
Because the quality and the success of our democracy depends upon quality education of the public. And there's nothing that improves the level of education in a classroom setting than diversity. I taught at the university level for almost 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And the more diversity that's in the classroom, whether it's young or old or black or white or brown or rich or poor, that diversity adds a level of quality to the classroom that can't be replaced.
And Beverly, how would you define quality? Like, can you give an example of what that looks like to you or what it looks like in your classroom?
Well, it has to go way, way beyond just the learning of facts. It has to be students learning how to analyze and deal with information and express it and have dialogues about it in a logical, rational way.
Yeah. And also maybe empathy, learning what it's like to
put yourself in
someone else's shoes that you haven't considered their perspective before. But thanks so much for the call, Beverly, and that perspective. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more to talk about this as the day goes on. Unfortunately, we have a jam-packed show today.
Yes, we do.
And unfortunately, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
But as far as our ability to dive deeper on this topic, we will have to table it for tomorrow, maybe for tomorrow. But also, I think we're talking to a professor from UW-Madison who is a legal scholar about all of the cases and everything, all the rulings that come out. So we'll have more time to talk about this tomorrow. So I see people calling on the line right now. Unfortunately, we have to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to have a guest. So sorry we could not take your calls, but keep calling in general because we love hearing from you when we talk about these topics. All right, we got to take another break. But when we come back, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley will be here. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Your mama says, son, don't call my darling no more. Before you kill me, take a look at yourself. Before you kill me, take a look at yourself. Yes, I've been running with other women, but I don't love nobody else.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And the shared revenue deal and the potential for a new sales tax in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County has been a windy, weedy saga to try to track and put into layman's terms if you work in the media. But we've done our best. But we may soon be approaching the light at the end of the tunnel. So we are very excited to welcome our next guest, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, to talk about how we got here, what still needs to happen, and how many gray hairs you've gotten over the last, you know, I imagine it's at least a couple. So how are you doing this morning, County Executive? well, I guess before we dive into that, just because we were just touching on it, and I don't even know if you've had a chance to dive into it. The news broke literally as I was driving to Waukesha this morning. Mm-hmm. But do you have any immediate reactions as far as the Supreme Court ruling?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the Supreme Court ruling basically struck down affirmative action for college admissions. And to be quite honest with you, it's mind blowing. I think when you look at the data, it still shows that people of color, women, so on and so forth, because the list goes on and on, still needs access to opportunities. Whether we're talking about employment, whether we're talking about education, we know that we still have a long way to go. Yes, we can talk about where we've come from. But as America, as a country, we are not in the place where we need to be. So I am disappointed to see this ruling, but it lets you know that we still have a fight ahead of us. And so it's about bringing more people to the table to figure out how we change things for our own future.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's get to the topic that we want to talk about, that we invited you to talk about. So I guess, could you remind our listeners where we are in the process and what it could mean for Milwaukee?
Absolutely. So a couple weeks ago, the governor, Governor Evers, signed into law the shared revenue bill. And what this shared revenue bill does, Act 12, if I'm not mistaken, it increases shared revenue for all local municipalities and counties all across the state, something that many local municipalities have been asking for many, many mm-hmm. years, quite honestly, probably about two decades. But for the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County specifically, it has given us a tool to actually capture our own economic activity by allowing us to increase our sales taxes to put right back into our programs. And so where we are today is that the City Common Council, as well as the Milwaukee County Board, now has to vote on this piece of legislation. Now, we know that there is a lot of policy pieces also within this bill, but those have already become law. And many of those policies, you know, give many of us heartburn. But mm-hmm. what's in front of us right now is just the ability to utilize this tool so we can invest back into our Milwaukee County residents.
So for you, just to be clear, it's with even with the, let's say, controversial strings attached that have come with this, you are still charging forward this, like, full support, like, we got to get this done.
I mean, we have to get this done. I mean, for us as a county, right, when we think about DEI, those programs, those laws does not affect Milwaukee County. We're still going to be able to have our Office of Equity. We're still going to be able to do our minority contracting the way that we do it. But I will say, when we think about, again, with these policies decisions, as I stated before, yes, nobody wants to see this. We should have been able to have a clean bill. But when you are working through a legislature, a divided government, and this, I would argue that this is probably one of the largest bipartisan bills that we have seen in many decades, definitely within my lifetime. And so with these things becoming law, we have to focus on what is in front of us. And so if we want to increase and improve the quality of life for our residents, for our visitors, for our workers, it's important that we vote and pass this deal for our residents.
Our guest is Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. David, I think it's important for people to remember, too, that deferred maintenance, I can remember when Scott Walker was county executive, and they were putting off and putting off and putting off repairs to things. So this, like you said, this is a decades-long mess in the making.
I mean, you hit it right on the head. I mean, we're talking about $1 billion worth of deferred maintenance. And our Parks Department alone is probably about a half a billion itself, $500 million when it comes to deferred maintenance. And when you think about the finances that we are, you know, we are collecting, a third of the property tax revenue that we collect goes towards the pension alone. Mm-hmm. So it is our hope that with the sales tax, we'll be able to buy down the pension, but also have enough financial flexibility to actually invest in programs like parks, like transit, like youth services, senior services, disability services, public safety, because we are part of the nerve of the public safety continuum, especially when you think about how we support courts, DAs, judges, public defenders, even our sheriff's department. And so these dollars are going to be extremely critical. And when you think about the next few years with the proper planning, you will see the increase in these programs and services that many of our residents deserve to have and quite frankly need.
So as far as right now, what are the kind of final, from the county standpoint, because obviously there's also, this is in parallel happening with the city and the Common Council. Mm-hmm. What are kind of the final obstacles, objections? What are you hearing from county board members or even voters right now?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a lot of confusion, right? We want to make sure that people understand that what's in front of the Common Council and the county board is just the financial tool needed to invest in our community. The policy pieces that are in there, I think not just the Common Council and the county board, but many residents, not just here in the Milwaukee County, but across the state, don't like these policy provisions. But that's not what's in front of us. So as we begin to have conversations with county board supervisors and begin to talk about what we'll be able to do with these dollars, people are open-minded, but also understand that the fiscal cliff that we will be seeing in the next 5 years is just not sustainable. We would have had to probably cut about a quarter of our workforce and really have to cut to the bone or cut major limbs, major services in a sense, because those are the things that are non-mandated. Because as an extension of the state, there are certain things that we have to do because the state says that we do. But we also have non-mandated programs that so many people rely on, and it's a part of the quality of life. I believe in our county park system. I believe it's the crown jewel of Milwaukee County. We need to make sure that that's there. Our transit system, we need to make sure that that's there. But those services, those amenities are non-mandated. So it's important that we get the financial freedom, that flexibility that we need to invest in those programs and services.
And I would say in no time, obviously in the summer, it always is the easiest to highlight, but I would challenge any other major metropolitan area with their parks versus our parks. Like, we are a green city. And I don't think people realize that if that goes away, how much we lose, because it's unbelievable how many parks that we have access to. So one thing, because I know one of the main, always what comes up with a sales tax is the argument that it's regressive. And it is. Mm-hmm. And it is. But the thing that I feel like isn't getting enough attention is how many people who don't live in Milwaukee enjoy Milwaukee. So the amount of people who come in to work and commute there every day, the amount of people who come in for a Bucks game or a Brewers game, the amount of people who are coming here for the RNC 2 years later, the amount of people who are going to be here for the draft, who are inevitably, even though that's in Green Bay, there's not enough hotels up there, so they're definitely staying in Milwaukee.
And so flying in Milwaukee.
You're flying into Milwaukee. And so the amount of, I mean, think about had we had the sales tax during the Bucks runoff finals.
Absolutely.
And why is there not more attention being made on, like, this also brings in money from the people who use our city, who don't pay into our city, but benefit from it?
Thank you. I mean, like, seriously, thank you. Because, you know, people talk about this being regressive, right? But at the end of the day, what's really regressive is, as a county, we provide the health and human service programs and services that people need. And so when you think about it, we are the safety net. So what's regressive is not being able to have a bus system that's going to get people to class. It's not going to get people to their healthcare appointments. It's not going to get people to their employment opportunities or help expand their employment opportunities and being able to go all across Milwaukee County and in some cases outside the county. So when we think about regressiveness, the regressiveness about this would be if we had to eliminate and reduce the programs and services that keep people safe. Whether we're talking about the violence in the community by investing in programs like youth mentoring or investing in mental health services within Milwaukee County, we wouldn't be able to do that. Without these, without additional funds, you know, Milwaukee County for 2 years in a row, we have the title of having the lowest unsheltered homeless population per capita in the country due to how much we've been able to invest in housing first. We wouldn't be able to do that moving forward without these additional revenues. And so the regressive nature would really come from the fact that we would have to eliminate so many programs and services that benefit some of our most vulnerable community members throughout the county. That would have been regressive. But the other thing is that we have to understand at least 25% of the sales tax that's going to be collected are going to be collected from people who don't even live in Milwaukee mm-hmm. County. So there are so many folks who live, who work here, who may come to visit. And when they spend those dollars don't go to back into the programs and services that they're able to utilize. For example, public safety or EMS, right? Or making sure that we can continue to have, smooth streets, right? We need to make sure that we can capture those dollars, leverage our own economic activity to make sure that our residents are benefiting from it.
Now, I have to ask more of a personal question. We'll see how freely you feel to answer this. But as far as the good faith negotiations that have gone in, because I know for you and Mayor Johnson, you guys are big proponents of getting the RNC here. So the Republicans are coming and they're bringing their convention here. But as far as with the frustrations of these strings attached, I think remembering this correctly from yesterday, there was some bubble over of one of our state senators yesterday being pretty frustrated with this resentment of like suburbs versus Milwaukee and Republicans mm-hmm. and how they treat Milwaukee. And with so much good faith that I feel like I, at least from what I could tell from the outside, you and Mayor Johnson went into trying to build relationships that haven't been there for a long time with Milwaukee and the state, or at least the GOP at this, in the Capitol. Like, do you still feel positively about those relationships and the bridges that you're building with them?
You know, one of my favorite lines is saying, I'm always recklessly optimistic, okay. Right? And I would say that, you know, going into this, absolutely, the mayor and I, we were going in with good faith negotiations. And we have to remind folks that, you know, I was elected in 2020. And when I talked about this being our number one priority, there were folks in this community who laughed at me because they were hopeless themselves on being able to get this type of legislation through the finish line. I mean, we're talking about two decades of conversations of the city and the county going to the state asking for additional tools, additional revenue to pay for many programs and services that folks need. And I will tell you that one of the things that we learned going up there is that while we were up there, folks understood that we needed a statewide package. And I would say that the fact that we had Republicans and Democrats who voted for it, as well as voted against it, it lets you know that this was truly bipartisan. And yes, there are things that I don't like in this bill, but I guarantee you that there are Republicans in both houses who would say that there are things that they don't like themselves, but they knew that they had to get it done. And so I think that we've learned that we have to continue to have good conversations and not just make connections with legislators in Madison, but making connections with communities all across the state. We have to hit that reset button. We have to change the narrative of who we are, but more importantly, who we want to be in the future.
Absolutely. So with the 2 minutes that we have left, I guess without just the doom and gloom of how close we are to this fiscal cliff, but I think what is the vision if we actually can attain financial stability of like what Milwaukee County could be?
I mean, we're really talking about being able to, one, expand many of our health and human service programs. I'm always go back to our behavior health programs, as well as our youth mentoring and making sure that we can keep our safe streets. We're going to be able to invest in our parks. When I say invest in our parks, not just maintaining our parks and making sure that people can enjoy the beautification of being outdoors, but more importantly, like having reliable facilities open, like our bathrooms, making sure that we can have a transit system that is not just efficient, but is rolling on time that people can enjoy it, and we can create a new experience for riders moving forward. This is really going to set us on a financial path to invest back into our communities, because people have to remember, you know, for the past two decades, we have had to start with where do we cut? Where do we cut? Where do we cut? Because of the gap has grown so large. But now This is going to give us the ability to actually look at our services and figure out what programs that are making the greatest impact in our community can we expand and double down on to help us move forward and make progress.
All right. Well, we got to let you go, but thank you so much for spending time with us today. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, always fun to talk to you. Let's get it done.
Let's get it done. Thank you.
Have a great day. All right. When we come back, three headlines and a lie. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. I really like interviewing him.
He's a really interesting man. And again, I think it's just important to keep in perspective how long this mess has been this mess.
Yeah.
It's not just the last administration. This has been going on for decades and everybody's been putting it off. I can remember when a big chunk of concrete fell off a building in downtown Milwaukee when Walker was county executive and killed someone.
Well, also, like, what's been the decision with the domes? Talk about deferred maintenance.
Seriously. And I don't think, just in my personal opinion, I don't see how you can bring them back.
Really?
I really don't. The design is outdated. It's old. It's been leaking.
I know, but it's so cool.
I know, but when is the last time you were there?
Well, I just admitted yesterday I still haven't been to the Milwaukee Public Museum, so I'm not a good...
But I think it's one of those things where we live here and we don't utilize it. We don't go see it. And then when time comes, we have to either fix it or move on. It's like, well, don't not have it, but I haven't been there in 30 years.
It'd be interesting to see in the, because along with our parks, we also have a lot of great museums, of what the... Like the data is for attendance across like the domes and Milwaukee Public Museum and Discovery World and the Art Museum and what's the Children's Museum? Betty Brin. Mm-hmm. Because I'm obviously in the mindset where I'm thinking about in a couple of years, like, where am I going to take this kid in the weekends what do we do with this thing in the middle of January? But it is frustrating, and I'm hoping that the objections from the Common Council members and the county board members who are talking to the media about how much they are not pleased with the bill as it stands, it's because they feel like they need to say that they're not pleased, but ultimately they will vote for it because the alternative just feels terrible.
Yes, because it is terrible.
So,
and that's what compromise is. We don't all always get everything we want.
No, I know, but it does also. Well, you heard what State Senator LaTanya Johnson did on the floor yesterday.
Yeah,
which I think maybe Devils talked about it a little bit. I think Maggie talked about it, touched on a little bit. Certainly, people were debating it on Twitter. But it just stokes the resentment. It's unbelievable to me the resentment that exists between the suburbs and Milwaukee.
But language like that does not help bridge that divide.
If you don't know what we're talking about, State Senator LaTanya Johnson on the floor yesterday said, F the suburbs.
That's not going to help.
And it's not helpful, but I would imagine that her frustration, because I was in the suburbs over the weekend, I won't say which one, we were at a graduation party. And it's just, it's wild to be so close to a place and have such a lack of understanding about it, of just the stereotypes of, when you tell people that you live in Milwaukee and their first reaction is, well, what about the gunshots? And it goes, that's not the entire city, right? And just the assumptions that they make and the stereotypes they buy into And but vice versa, like I have some stereotypes about the suburbs that, you know, stereotypes come from a real place, but it doesn't apply to everyone.
No, it doesn't.
And so, but I, you know, there's a reason I would prefer to live in Milwaukee and not Muskego. That is a dig at my father-in-law.
Fair enough.
Love you, Bruce. all right. So moving on to three headlines and a lie. This is our game that we play where we read four headlines. Three are real. One is very fake. And Jane has to guess which one is made up. All right. Number one, Joey Chestnut in talks to host new dating show called A Bite Out of Love.
Joey Chestnut, of course, the famous Nathan's hot dog eating champion.
Now, he was here over the... Wasn't he here last summer?
I think so.
I feel like we had...
There was something.
There was something where he ate a bunch of burritos. I feel like we talked about that. All right. Scholar, number two. Scholar finds doodles made by Henry VIII in ancient prayer book.
Okay.
Number three. NASA is recycling 98% of astronaut pee and sweat on the ISS into drinkable water.
Okay.
And number four, air passenger gets plane all to himself after waiting out 18-hour delay.
So my choices are?
Choices are. We'll read through them again. Number one, Joey Chestnut in talks to host a new dating show, A Bite Out of Love. Number two, scholar finds doodles made by Henry VIII's in ancient prayer book. Number three, NASA is recycling 98% of astronaut pee and sweat on the ISS into drinkable water. Number four, air passenger gets plane all to himself after waiting out 18-hour delay.
I will go with the airline passenger having the flight alone as the lie.
That is real.
It's real.
That is real.
How did he swing that?
I'm not sure. If you've ever thought of having an empty seat beside you on a flight is the ultimate travel goal, try this on for size, an entire plane to yourself.
Wow.
That was a dream scenario for Phil Stringer, who was flying from Oklahoma to North Carolina on Sunday at 6:30 a.m. So there you go.
That's crazy.
There's a picture of him with the flight attendants, and he's outnumbered 4-1.
Wow. Wow.
All right. What's your next guess?
Then I will go with Joey Chestnut as the lie.
That is the lie, that is unfortunately. The lie. Yeah. Although I might watch that show. I'm not a big reality show.
Bite Out of Love?
Bite Out of Love. Just, you know, Overeaters Anonymous and with Joey Chestnut. But yes, yeah, so that is the lie, which means that scholar finds doodles made by Henry VIII in ancient prayer book is real.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool. And that also NASA is indeed recycling 98% of astronaut pee and sweat on the ISS into drinkable water. It's a big deal for future missions beyond Earth.
Could be become a big deal for Earth, ultimately.
Oh, yeah. But I wonder what the filtration process on that looks like. Would you be a guinea pig on that?
Got to be a long, long filtration process, and I want to see
a lot of sand, a
lot of sand,
a lot of coal.
We're going through lots of layers here, lots and lots of layers.
All right, when we come back, it is that time of the week to do public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. If you have any questions about health, your health, general health, or if you have a headline you want us to talk about, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We have the top of the hour news. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.